This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. So, you got to watch a sci-fi show and step out of the world that we're in for like an hour.
I don't know, man. This episode was boring.
Boring,
so
huh?
Boring.
Like, it was a little bit on the... I have a lot of things I liked, as usual, but I do have a fair number of gripes this time as well. And I figure...
I'll see how many of those I can dissuade you from.
Of the things I like or don't like.
Probably both now at this point. We're so counter on what we've liked about television right now that it's like, I just feel that we are like literally just the two sides of the coin, you know?
Right. All right. So I figure I'll break it into about four different sections. We have when Burnham comes aboard, when Book comes aboard, when they jump to Earth, and then the resulting like resolution of the episode. That was pretty much the four acts of the episode. So of course that we left off Burnham with head was like, I've been gone a year. So they beam her over and everybody gets their hugs. So that was a good scene. You know, all the music playing and hugs, and like she had her little view over what's her name's shoulder as Georgia was kind of standing way off in the back, which is literally like as much loving emotion that woman has ever shown, even though you know that she cares a shit ton about her. Mm-hmm. But it was like the nod, and she's like, okay, she's alive, and like walks away. Like, you, I won't let him see me cry.
Right, I'm going to go kill something and push these feelings down.
Right, I'm going to go fight something on the training deck.
Yeah, right. She just goes to the holodeck and she's just like, 50 ultimate villains, come now! Like, and just goes in there and like massacres everything and walks out feeling like a bazillion dollars and fucking just total authentic badass and sarcasm and just like, she's going to be Saru's like, bane of existence, because she is always undermining him in some
just
way, shape, or form.
Ass.
Like, just and the best part is it's such like a wicked contradiction too. You're like, oh, okay, but they're always like funny in some way, you know.
And it's not necessary. And she's not doing it to get a bad result. She's usually doing it because her way will get it done faster, quicker, dirtier, something that's like, I'm not
if you just got the report cards on both of these, like, you'd be like, oh man, they both graded A's, right? But then so you'd like go to look at the advanced metrics or whatever, and you would start noticing like, wow, that one was done a whole day sooner, like, holy shit.
Right.
Like, that one was 800 less man hours and half the people, like, oh my god. And you're like, yeah, give me sample B, that's the one I want. And then you realize that, well, she killed everybody and just was like, you're gonna go do this, and they're like, sure, here you go, like, that knocked a whole day off and there went half your manpower and blah blah blah.
Well, yeah, you know, something that we have to keep in mind with her is that the mirror universe that she came from, you have to be on your A game. It's that, I think I've talked about it before when it comes to like war or something. You have to be at that heightened level of like awareness where you're like on edge for something to happen at all times, because in your universe, they just, you want a promotion, you kill the guy ahead of you type thing.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Like,
so
even,
she spent.
Yeah. Even in her like queen all authority, like, she knew that everyone around her, like, given the chance, would slit her throat, cut her head
she had
off.
To get,
like, yeah.
Yeah, she had to climb to that level.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's even within your own ranks, let alone anything outside of you with an army that goes, I don't like you either. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so her on this, she has to be so fucking bored in this universe, because she's like, I have dealt with worse people than you. Like, for instance, last week when she walked into the Western bar, she literally was like, I'm not scared because I know that you're going to want to bullshit and you're just going to point your gun but not really do anything. And so she was like, told everybody, you should ask him why he's going to let you die. Yeah. You know, all that shit from last week. And then she ended up fucking everybody up, like, without even having to really, you know, break a sweat. So, you know, nothing she has seen in this entire universe has surprised her. She even, like, during the maneuver that Burnham was pulling this episode, she was like, because if she had told you, then you wouldn't be able to blanket. You know, she's like, she already knows it. She's like, I figured it out. You guys are 5 steps behind me because I'm playing chess while y'all motherfuckers are playing checkers.
Yeah, well, I mean, so it's basically she is Saru's, like, bad guy, right? Like, and they've already proven in this world, especially the way Earth reacted in this episode of, like, yo, we just blow the shit out of anything that gets too fucking close. We don't ask questions. Like, fuck off, man. You know, right? And so they've painted the future, at least in a way where she's going to prove useful. Because at a certain point, there's going to be something where it's just like, look, my way is the only way, you know, kind of thing. And she'll get in more on her action because we're going to run across, like, the bad guys. But even then, I think she's going to always be the person that's a bad guy where with the fleet will go, we got to keep an eye on her. But really, at the end of the day, she's just their sword in this new world. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to get this whole, she took over somebody's area and was like, all right, I'm going to go run this place. Like, I think that will be the vibe that the Trek people paint, but that's never really going to ever happen actually in the show in the future. She's just always going to be like, I'm going to be here to kick ass when you need to kick ass, you know, kind of thing.
Right. I agree. She's definitely, this episode was a very, like, watch us do our thing. Here's how Starfleet, like, everyone in this entire, now this time frame, has forgotten the ideals and morals of Starfleet, and watch us do our thing, and it's good, and watch it work. So everything worked this episode, like, in Saru's favor. Burnham's thing worked, they got the guy, they had a discussion, everybody realized that, oh, okay, we can talk about this. Like, that was a very Starfleet Federation-style result. $10, that's the last one of this episode. Like, or this of this season. Her stuff will come in more in play where it's like, look, you can't negotiate your way out of this, and if you haven't figured it out, these folks have weapons that are 1,000 years better than yours, i.e. two torpedoes took your shields from 100 to nothing.
Yeah.
In one shot, you're like, oh, we are out. I'm sorry. We are outmatched. We do not know what we're doing here.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's going to be one of those things where it's like, we get this whole Trek, like, rebuilding, you know, and then she ends up becoming, like, the commander of war or something,
the war czar.
Yeah, you know, but it's basically like, they finally get it that, okay, well, if we're going to bring it back to the way it was, like, there is going to be battles ahead. Mm-hmm. That is just how it is going to be. Like,
right. It's almost like they're going to have to be pushed. I could almost see them pushing her pushing like a battle to the brink of the destruction of Discovery. And then at some point, like when they hit battle, Saru's like, no, you take this. Like, I'll let you command this part of it. Cause I do not know what I'm doing. You know, something maybe to that effect. I doubt that, but she would be better to be sitting in the captain's chair when they're in the middle of a fight. You know, do this, do that, fire this, move here, that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't want anybody that just kills people in their day-to-day because they, like, look too far to the left, you know, or whatever, right?
Right. So, did you like how we saw the past year? Like, just, I mean, it was a fairly quick, like, they showed her hair growing, you know what I'm saying, as she's watching the communicator. That's mm-hmm. pretty much, I'm glad we didn't stick there. I'm sure we'll see some flashbacks to that, like some things that may have happened. They're already, okay, so my first gripe because we're coming upon it organically, it's okay here and there, but I feel like there was like a good 5 minutes this episode where they're like, hey, let's try what happened on Dengar 4. Oh, really? Maybe I won't be drunk this time. And then there's that thing that we did on frickin', I'm like, okay, can we not ref, like it got like goofy. the two of them, her and Booker, like talking about their awesome, like all the shit they did. Like, I don't like, I understand the trope of that. It happens on all kinds of shows where the, but it's just like, it was too many for me. It was too much. And I'm like, I just, that kind of stuff irks me. Did it not bother you at all? Of course not.
No, not at all. Like, why would it?
Because it just kept happening. Like, it kept happening. Remember that time on so-and-so on this planet when I pulled just,
I mean, they didn't even say, like, they said on this planet or, like, in this area, like, once. And then all they did was reference the trick name that they use. Like, it was like, we could do the duck, duck, goose. No, how about this or how about that? And it's like, okay, that's actually a really smart way of discussing elaborate fucking plans in a really quick scene. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Some of the shit you gripe about is just fucking baffling to me. It's like, it was one too many Ocean's 11 style jokes with what, like, they were going to do to accomplish this gambit.
I feel like they could, I know the point of it. The point is to show that they are, that they have grown together as a pair during the time they were, you know, gallivanting around his sector for the year. I understand that. But I think there's a more organic way to do it than, like, referencing what happened on this and what about this maneuver and what about that. And we're all like, okay, all of us are like, I don't know what you're doing.
How else would you do it then?
They other than that scene, they already played it well. You have two fantastic actors who are blatantly, like, I'm cool because you had all the jokes about the cat and all the thing, you know, oh no, she's a queen, you know, like all those moments where they're blatantly,
I get that,
like,
but I'm saying how we,
friends.
Okay, but in that scene, that's what I'm getting at. Like,
I don't need to know about what happened with the.
But, like, so what? Okay, so if you don't want to fill it with that kind of filler information right there to, like,
all kinds
show.
Of stuff to talk about.
No, that's what I'm asking. Give me an example. Like, how else would you do what they are trying to discuss? How are they going to deliver this and not kill everybody at the same time? How would you have that conversation without then just saying, I'm going to go try this really long thing, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, duck, dodge, dip, die. But hey, we're supposed to be really cool and know each other. I'm going to counter retort with my super long reply as well. Duck, dick, dodge, die, blah, blah. Like,
hey, sometimes they have to give that kind of explanation so everybody watching this show knows what's going on.
For like a 5-minute scene that is then like, oh, by the way, the thing that you were attacking people of Earth. Because, like, we're going to just smother this on really thick here.
You're on my next gripe.
You're attacking each other because they're human too. Like, right, just talk to each other and listen, and you can probably accomplish a lot of things. November 3rd.
Like, right. Okay, good. So you moved on to my next gripe, which is perfect, which we can talk about too. I'll talk about Booker in a minute because I still love him. He's fantastic. Yes. Like I said earlier, I'm so glad I have this show to get away from the real world in 2020. Like, I'm so glad I have a show that I can turn on and then, oh, wait, never mind. We're talking about Earth becoming isolationist. We can handle shit ourselves. We're pulled out of, we're not in the Federation. We lock down our borders and we don't talk to anybody. Like, I'm like, oh, that's fucking right in your face. Like, just smashing me in the face with that one. Thanks, guys. I'm so glad I could escape the world I'm in right now. This is so great. November 3rd. It's like, fuck. Like,
yeah, and then it's like, you know, homeboy takes his mask off, and it's like, how many times have you, like, popped up with these people? It's like,
like, how fast did you waste the last guys that showed
up? Well, like, yeah, he was, like, our first envoy or whatever, like, we sent out was, you know, taken out. And it's like, I get it. I get the whole we didn't have long-distance communication. We didn't blah, blah, blah. But Earth has obviously already demonstrated that, like, you got to get within their field to be like, hey, what are you doing here? Right? Otherwise, we just let you kind of go on by because we don't want fucking nothing to do with you. So, like, at no point did, like, everyone just land, like, right in the kill zone and, like,
right,
you know?
I'm going for it, boss!
Yeah, and, like, and then he pulls his helmet off and it's like, oh, you're human too? And I just went, okay, you guys are too far in the future. Way too far in the future and proven with the tech, like, instant transportation right from your little pocket nowadays, and you're telling me, like, they couldn't come from Titan and then go, I'm going to stop here. And from my ship, I can obviously still communicate with this planet.
Right.
Without a mask on my face. And they'll go, damn, you're a human. And you'll go, yeah, remember when we were all on Titan? Well, here's the bad shit that happened.
Right. I'm literally right at Saturn. I'm one of the moons. You know we're here.
Like the first ship that came out and they're like, blew it up. Somebody would have just like looked at trajectory data because everyone has been like, oh, when you only see these kind of three things pop out of the old space-time continuum here out in the middle of nowhere, yeehaw space, we know exactly where you came from, right? But
right.
I get that we broke away from the Federation and we locked down, fine. But then just this whole, all of a sudden we're in super space future, everybody's an idiot just for this convenient little thing to like prove right. that we need to talk to each other. It's like, nope, that doesn't there's been way too many circumstances where you've been robbed by these people and no one has been like, we caught one, take the mask off, or you know what I'm saying, like anything. It's just it would have been different if this was like we finally made it from Saturn or Titan, right? And that was the first ship and they got their units on to like make sure they can still make it because they just basically were like, hey, everything went to shit. We hacked apart everything we could to build this one thing to get here. But Earth's all like, doo, 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 fuck you. We don't know who you are. Go away. Right. And then Discovery's like, hey guys, I think we can sort this out. That may have made a little more sense, but there was way too much intermingling where they're like, we know how our enemy works. Okay, how'd you get that information? How?
Right, you scanned
them. Interrogated. Yeah. You scanned them. You did something. Like, you know what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, I love the genesis of Star Trek, the ability to tell a story that is relevant to society at the time of the show being made is one of the key masterful things that Star Trek does. But there's a way to do it where it's not like smashed in your face. And this is just so heavy-handed. While trust me, it needs to be addressed. Like, the world that we are currently living in and the political landscape that we are living in needs to be addressed, but there is a more graceful way of doing it and a sci-fi way of doing it.
Yes, especially if you want the, I guess, message to, like, happen, right? Like, they could have been on Saturn, something went wrong, and they cop out mutated, right? Fine, but at least then you have this word different but the same, but this just blatant like, oh shit, we're human too and we didn't know. Like, it is so, it's just too stupid. I mean, that's just all there is to it. It is too stupid to play out like that. Like, you could have had something where that mask had to have stayed on because of yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But this was just literally like, okay, so what, you guys ran into each other a whole bunch of times, and after the one thing, I guess it locked down, okay, but again, how did you get your information? Like, what did you do? Did you fly out there and spy on them? Did you trail a ship? Did you scan it? Did you kidnap one of them? Did you interrogate one of them? Like, otherwise you don't know shit about your enemy at all. So, like, that whole statement is pointless, right? But they make it sound like they have interacted so many times with each other that it was every helmet stayed on. Or every time they something did interact, there was just no leftovers, right?
Like, yeah, just vaporized, just blown to bits.
And I know humans in nature of war, like, if there's wreckage, we're going to go collect it because we're going to just reverse engineer the shit out of whatever it was to find a weakness. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, every interaction, literally, it just had to be space particles after that. It was like, well, ain't enough to collect. Just let it float away, right? You know? And again, how does that happen in every interaction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely a bit far-fetched with the way it concluded.
Yeah, I think that was what really, like, dug the whole, this episode was boring.
For you?
To me, because it was, all right, I get the reunion stuff. I get the like, you know, your gripe of the catching up and how do we convey that like long information, right? And then, of course, the showing how she's changed because she went kind of behind Saru's back and it was like, look, homie, you've been gone for a year. It's you're not numero uno all the time, right? And I like I did like their explanation of like, look, you got to let me get back in the swing of things. Like, do you realize how long like I've been out of this? That was yesterday for you guys. But like, right. I have been out of this long enough to basically go, I don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was cool. But again, I think after the whole like hype train that was like Saru and the arguments and then just kind of like them interacting with this masked dude that seemed to be pretty legit mean and angry and pissed. We're like, all right. And then it's just like you pulled Vader's mask off and it was like a frog. And you're like, what? You know, like it was just so dumb that you just went,
I'm just a hungry old man.
Yeah. All right. Get me to four then. Whatever this needed to happen, apparently. Fine. Let's get on with four then.
Yeah. On the Ready Room episode after the show, Jonathan Frakes he was one of the guests that Will Wheaton was talking to, and he made a mention that I'm not sure he was supposed to, but he says since this is the only time they go to Earth this season, so I don't think we're coming back to Earth. I think if they were trying to hammer on this point about isolationism and how much it sucks and how much that, you know, America's dumb right now, like, this may have had to be heavy-handed because they're not going back to Earth. Like, they're done. Like, their Earth pulled out of the Federation. They're trying to find the Federation in Starfleet. They don't care. If Earth is out, sorry, Earth. Stay in your fucking little shell. Have a nice day. Have a nice life. So, we have more Dilith than anybody in this entire galaxy. So, whatever hordes you have, we probably have some more. So, I mean, I don't think they're coming back to Earth, so that was our one. We went to Earth to pick up that crew member because we knew she was coming on the show, and she's major to this season with the whole Trill issue and everything. So that the whole point of going to Earth was to get her and see, like, this is why we're not going back to Earth. Go hug your tree, and we're getting the fuck out of here. We got to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said, this is a soft reboot. Getting 13 episodes, they took the first three to pretty much, like, okay, they got you here. We're kind of sloughing off the past seasons, and now here's our mission starting now. We're figuring out what the burn is. We're trying to find Starfleet and the Federation and what happened with all of that. So, and it was okay. Now, so here, let's one more gripe I have. When you say it's boring, I think you and I are going to think the same thing, but it's in different aspects. Every conversation that has to happen on this show doesn't have to be a monumental, swelling music, fucking long staring gazes at each other, like hard-hitting, large, you know, I felt like every scene was like, you had this scene with her giving Saru the captaincy. You had her coming home, and you had her talking with Tilly, and you had her talking with Saru after the big thing goes down, and all of that was like, it was so much like, this is big, powerful, either two one-on-one conversations or someone just talking. I was like, God, it's like this. It's so exhausting to watch it because you're like, this is such a big moment. But then when you've hit like the fifth big moment of a 54-minute episode, you're like, ugh. We just when they were talking with when they pulled the guy's helmet off, minus the joke of Giorgio kicking the guy in the fucking knee and taking his helmet off, it was all like, you know, it was all big grandiose statements and all kinds of like big that got me too. I felt like every moment was trying to be this big giant, look, we're trying to say all this stuff. I'm like, oh, you're wearing me out. Like, stop playing music and have a conversation and let's move this forward some.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's why it was. I thought that may have been why it was slow for you. I didn't
notice it. So, like,
God, I felt like everything was a musical swell of like, it was just exhausting to watch. It was. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I'm like, I'm really like physically tired at the end of this because everything is this. you know, while he, you know, at the end where he's like pulling out the fucking telescope that the other JoJo gave him, like, and they're having this just, I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm physically exhausted watching you guys have these just large moments on the show. Like, what?
I didn't even notice any of like that.
Okay, so good stuff from this episode. My favorite, and it's so minor, and if you're not really like thinking about it, you miss it completely. When they beam Booker over, his sheer level of, is this fucking done? Like, because he's used to a technology that's 1,000 years more advanced, and his transports are like, zip, you're transported. He was literally like, as he materialized, and when he finally was like all there, he was like, oh, Jesus, that took forever. Like, and the best part is, like, you know that Jonathan Frakes had to sit down with him and say, look, you're going to be beamed over, but it's going to be the slowest shit. Like, it's like sitting your daughter in front of a dial-up modem and being like, okay, when this noise stops, you'll be able to access the internet at, like...
If it worked.
If it actually connected to time. Yeah, because, I mean, and it's... And I actually went back and, like, watched it again, like, as he did it, and it was just... His look is so, like, perturbed. He's like, good Lord, that took forever. Like, that was...
Yeah, that makes you wonder, like, if he was told that, or if the actor just being the actor, like, put two and two together. Like, well, if I'm from the fucking future, man, and, like, obviously, like, I got one in my pocket...
I gotta be this pad.
This thing would be slower, and somebody probably was like, yeah, and he was like, alright, cool. And then that's where you get the whole like, oh, we're fucking done. Thank God. Yeah, you know, like
I wonder if that dude's got a Twitter account. I may have to like tweet at him and be like, how did, like, when you first transported over, like, how did they set that scene up for you? Did you figure it out or did they tell you? I may have to ask that. I may have to report back. I may have to ask that guy that. He may there respond. You never know. I don't know his name. I will never know. I know you won't. You don't know his name. The second one that I really enjoyed, I forgot how much I missed Black Alert. Like, we hadn't heard it the whole, like, yet, really. And, you know, this season for sure. And I had forgotten how much I enjoyed it. And then I realized, like, right as they jumped, and I was like, oh, man, that was awesome. I was like, oh, shit, Book hasn't been on one yet. And, no, and like, I loved his reaction. He was like, oh, shit. You didn't tell me about the spinny part. I was like, yeah, I know, right? it's cool because they're on this old ass ship, but like it's stuff folks have never seen. Like there is some tech on that ship that no one has ever heard of in this millennia that these folks were in. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like if you came from a place where like Betamax won, you know, and mm-hmm. like what was the other one? HD DVD, like, you know, it's just it's minor differences, right? You know, right. Kind of thing. Yeah,
it's cool. And even the scene with the new character, whatever her name is, I forget, but where she's like, you guys live in a museum. She's like, museums are, and Tilly's like, museums are cool, and she's like, that's something that somebody who lives in a museum would say.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
like that banter, like her and Stamets and Tilly. The three of them are going to be interesting this season. Like, that's going to be the comic relief, really. Because I think, like we said last week, Stamets gets a pass this season. Him and Culber get a fucking pass. Like, you guys get to have a nice, relaxing, jovial time.
I think you're going to have more of him and, like, those two being in, like, bewilderment of each other. Because, like, Tilly's always like, oh, you're awesome, right? So that's no big deal.
We get it. You're smart. Yeah. We're all smart. But
like if Stamets is like, man, you're only 16 or whatever, and she's spouting off some of the stuff, and I think she's like going to be the missing strand to some of his great ideas.
That could be cool.
Right? And then she'll be like, have you ever thought of this? And then you'll get this whole like teacher apprentice kind of thing, and then well, can we pass the spore network to each other, like, could I, you know, kind of thing, or blah, 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 whatever, right? And then with her being, like, Trill, which is just fucking awesome.
You do understand the background of that species, right?
No, I have no idea on it, and that's fine. I just think because just Trill's a fun word.
So there's an entire race there's an entire race on a planet. They are the ones, Jadzia Dax from DS9, the lady who had the dots that ran down the side of her hairline. Mm-hmm. She's a Trill. She's from the Trill race. Inside her is a gross, wormy looking symbiote that as you grow up on the Trill planet, whatever it's called, we're going to find out next week.
Oh yeah,
week,
I remember those things. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Jadzia Dax on DS9, she had the symbiote of a guy, Curzon Dax, that Sisko knew when that symbiote was in Curzon. So like Jadzia has access to all those memories, and so they're able. She would like make like guy jokes with him about that one time on whatever, you know, and like would be like, "Oh yeah, old man," and he would call him old. He would call her old man all the time.
Gotcha.
because of the symbiote inside of her. But the problem is that with humans, because that the girl on Discovery is human. Humans have a hard time. And a rougher time with the symbiote, and they can't access the memories, and there's all kinds of issues because, in fact, speaking of Jonathan Frakes, Riker had to take a Trill symbiote during an episode of TNG, and it fucked with him hardcore. Like the entire he was like serving as like the temporary host because the host the symbiote was in was dying, and they hadn't gotten the backup, the new one hadn't gotten to the ship yet, so yeah. Riker had to like take it. He's like, "Just stick it in me, because I'm fucking Riker. I'll take it all, baby." And like he had a whole bunch of issues. So there was a sneak preview or something for next week. She's having problems accessing the memories of the dude that she says, you know, that sent them the signal, and so they need to snap her out of it so she can figure out what he was talking about and where the Federation is. Yeah, and that's why they're going to head to the Trill homeworld and whatever happens there. So next week could be kind of cool. But like you said, I'm with you. A little bit of a boring episode just because of how it had to be laid out. But I'm pretty sure this may be the last one that's this easy for them. Like, yeah, we'll just capture what it was. But get to that and we're all talking. It's fucking diplomacy, baby. Pow, pow, pow. It's good to go. That's how we do it, you know? I think the rest of it is going to be a lot of and then of course we have the underlying. Detmer is having some. She was like, "But sir, we just got here. Like we're going to go fly in front of some shit." Like she's already having problems. She's having problems, and we don't know what it is yet. But she's hesitating more. She's questioning. She feels threatened enough to question the captain's orders.
Yeah, I hope that's one of those things where they get to it sooner rather than later, because honestly, she's like not on the show enough that all of a sudden if they have like her quote unquote episode, you know, and it's like 9 and there's just the weird like, because you know they'll do it as a breakdown most likely in mm-hmm. some way, like she either literally shuts the fuck down and goes into some kind of crazy coma. Yeah, or just like completely breaks down, like, "I can't do it, I don't," like, you know, both. They're like, "Oh man, we finally need to figure out what's wrong with her," right? And then they do that goofy flashback where all this shit that we never saw supposedly happened in the hallway or like while she was taking like a shower, right? Like, you know, and it's just like you could have done that episode 3. You could have just like got this over with, like, unless it ties to some grand scheme of things. But even then, you better start having her on screen a little bit more, because if she's going to be a component, like, don't bring it in all of a sudden again in episode 9.
Well, and it's all about time. The best thing about a 24-episode show like TNG, like all the past Star Treks were, is that you have time to have your Geordi episode, your Worf episode, your Picard and insert random minor crew member, or not minor, but not like Picard or Data or Riker, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you had time to insert that person and give them a one or two show, part one, part two, whatever. With 13 episodes, you barely have time to tell your story. So, and you're right. The biggest thing is like Detmer, Owozu-kun, the Asian dude in the back, the black dude in the back. I forget their names half the time. Like, they're people you would normally know and get to know because you got 24 episodes to know them each season. We got 10, 13, 12, whatever they've been the past seasons. They're like, I barely know your name. And it was nice that they're starting to like give them more lines. In fact, when they all walked to the tree, I think every single one of them had a line. And it's like, yay for you guys, because half the time you're just fucking in front of the camera smiling or making a face. Like, that's it. You know, yeah. And there's just not time to get to those. I think it's like five. It's Detmer and Owo who have had more than the other ones. And then the blonde girl that took the place of the android who got killed, who got attacked by, or who got taken over by control. And then, yeah, the Asian dude, the black dude in the back. Like, those are those five, we don't really know anything about you. So, because it's the Saru, Michael, Giorgio, Tilly, Stamets show. And that's already five, and Culber, kind of. And that's six. And so you've got five more you never heard. That's 11 people like that. You got 13 episodes. You're not getting to anybody.
Yeah. Really. Well, I was just saying, like, if they're going to, like, unless it's just an offshoot and we got to figure out, like, what's going on with her, like, on the side of the episode, fine. You know, so be it that way. But all of a sudden, if, like, she's just a big deal, it's like, then you should have made these, like, flare-ups or whatever her, like, thing is shown to us more often. You know, that's all I was getting at.
Well, and we made a statement that, like, the first episode was like the Michael show, you know, the Michael Burnham show. And it's like, okay, like, I know that you're the main, but that is that is one of your 13 episodes that you saw none of the other 10 at all. And, you know, I don't think you needed to do all of episode one by itself. I think you disagreed with me when we talked about it, but I just felt like it was so much her and those folks are just never going to get into it. In fact, you almost need an episode where Saru and the top five, like, leave the ship and you're left with just the bottom six and you follow all of them for an entire episode. So we care, because right now, if one of them were to die in some sort of dramatic, like, self-sacrificing way, once again, I'm not sure I'd know what name to write on the fucking eulogy. Like, I don't know their names.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be like the android girl. You're just like, all right.
Yeah, Arium? No, yeah. Well, but she got, like, at least the episode she died in, she was the whole episode. You know what I mean? she had the whole episode. But yeah, we barely knew her until the episode she died. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so.
So, right. Well, we'll see. You know, it had its moments. There's some good stuff, some nitpicky stuff, but
yeah, obviously.
Obviously. I like how you're the one that messaged me, that show is boring, but I'm the one who has, like, the
nitpicky. I mean, it was boring. Like, I'm just saying, if you were watching this show and you missed this episode, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. In this episode, Earth sucks. We're not going there again. And that's the episode.
And especially comparative to the last two, like the humor and the whole, like, you know, Wild West part. And then you had that buildup with the attack and, like, what's going on. And, like, no, we're going to show you the Trek way. That's cool. But again, you lose all of that momentum when homeboy just popped his head off and was like, hey, by the way, I'm from Titan, also a human, but we hadn't sorted this out in, like, I don't know, 100 years now or some shit. Like,
right.
Goddamn. It was just so mind-blowingly stupid. And I get it if that's what you wanted to, like, lay on how dumb all of this is. That's mm-hmm. fine. Then make the episode itself dumb. Like, the whole thing, not the pinnacle, like, right there at the very end. It's like, ha! Really? Okay. Like, and yeah, then because you just don't care. Then you go, whatever.
Yeah, I really think that we're done with Earth, and it's really going to be finding out what they're going to end up doing. Here's my theory for the season. The burn is what we have to, is the big what if, what, or the big why of the season. Why did the burn happen? Because the burn is what caused all of what they knew to pretty much stop being what it is.
Yeah.
I loved the visual. I loved the monologue at the beginning where she was given the personal log and she was hanging out with the guy at the starbase who was doing the messages for a minute. I liked the visual of where he was showing how the ships were, and then, like, those little images became the ships, and then they all, you watch them all explode. Like, mm-hmm. that's a little bit nerve-wracking. It was pretty cool. But to find out why all the dilithium went inert immediately or all at once. You know, Stamets is like, another funny moment was he's like, but for all that to go, you know, across the entire universe to do it all at once, that's impossible. And this, Giorgio's like, says the guy who travels the ship through fucking mushroom, like through using mushrooms.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of something that someone mentioned that I was watching online, and I looked it up and I rewatched the scene. So in season one, and this may not have anything to do with it, but we're going to give it a shot. So season one, episode three. So you had the big, like, two episodes at the very beginning that were the Shinzo and what happened with Giorgio and everything. And then episode three is when she's being transported to the Discovery to meet Lorca, right? As a prisoner. Remember that from way back when?
Mm-hmm.
I know you do. So when she's traveling with
clear
those,
as day.
What'd you say?
Clear as day.
Clear as day. So when she's on that shuttlecraft with the other prisoners that are all in their like yellow prison garb, one of the guys mentions that they were mining dilithium and the pocket they were mining went piezoelectric and gutted the entire bottom of the mine and vaporized like 50 convicts like immediately. And so first I had to go look up what piezoelectric meant because I didn't know. And it really doesn't have anything to do with exploding, but he blatantly said that it was an explosion.
What
so,
does it do?
Huh?
What does it do?
So piezoelectricity is the electric charge that accumulates in certain solid materials, such as crystals, i.e. dilithium, in response to applied mechanical stress. So it's an electric charge that accumulates. So at some point, I guess that charge sparked something. I don't know. But that's what piezoelectric means. Now, you have to think that that was 930 years ago. So they still were working. That accident happened 930 years plus ago. And then, so you had warp travel with dilithium and other things all through that time. And then 100 years before where they are now is when the burn happened. So it's probably nothing, but it is a mention in this series of dilithium suddenly just fucking around and blowing up, which dilithium's always been, you know, dangerous. From, you know, episodes of Star Trek from the original series. So, but yeah, for it to do that, it'd be one of those things where what if this season's, because we don't know what this season's big bad is, like who the villain is. What if it turns out like the Federation is the villain by the time they figure out where the Federation is gone, like where Starfleet is gone, and they were doing some bullshit and they're the ones that caused it. You know, I mean, if all dilithium in all the ships in all the galaxy, not just Federation ships, exploded, then that makes a little bit of sense. But if I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know what the Federation would have done that would have set everything off all at once. I have no clue. So, but that's our big question is what has happened? What caused this to happen? Especially if scientists on that vessel think that's impossible.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That's our question for the season, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, it most certainly is, because they fucking mention it every episode. I mean, it definitely is.
And I'm betting it's solving it and then traveling back to fix it. Not the whole crew, but we do know, and it's not fair that we know that Giorgio is slated for a Section 31 television show. It's not really, I wish they had never announced that, because when she went to the future with them, we're like, oh, that's cool, but she's going to have to get back somehow. And then the short trek with the Calypso, where the guy came on board the Discovery, but the AI had gone sentient, and they had left her in a fucking pocket of something that sensors couldn't penetrate, and told her to stay there, and she stayed there for 1,000 years. Like, there could be something where Giorgio has to take the ship back in time and park her somewhere so the ship is ready, so the ship will be there when they go, when the crew goes back to look for her. You know what I'm saying? Some sort of like long stretch of time. And plus it gets her back to A, get on her show, and B, stop the burn. Because the goal would be to stop the burn. That's the whole point. We want to stop the burn. So, and if it's something that it was set off, you know, a tumbling of events that we hopefully find out from this trill, that may lead them back to their old timeline, and Georgia would have to go back anyways. Maybe she takes the discovery. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe it's who knows. I don't know. Time travel really messes shit up. Ask Marvel. Because if they're waiting for a ship to be there, but Giorgio travels back and changes things, then they're on a different branch of the timeline. Therefore, the one they're in, the Discovery's not going to be there because they're in a different, you know, they're in the one where the burn happened. She's in the one where the burn didn't happen. Yep, talk to Marvel. Don't fuck up time travel. It'll mess your world up.
Yeah, well, I guess it all just depends on which way you look at time.
Oh man. That's a deep statement.
Well, I mean, you can either look at time like cap fluid, where you're a bubble and you just move all through it in any way, shape, or form, because energy is never technically created or destroyed, so you're just encapsulated in something. Or you're like, I started here, I went this way, and then I came back, but I changed something, so now I gotta make a new road, and you go. But it's like...
Right. The question is, does the change you make change the line you were on, or does it make a different line? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, exactly. You know, and then even then, like, you can go within the bubble and be like, well, it changes, and then you go, that's fine. You just move through layers then. It doesn't matter, like, at the end, because you're still gonna get squished down to whatever the closing piece is. So all of those extra layers of, like, today I went left, today I married her, today I did this, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. All finalities end at the same, like, you know, point. So
right. Trust this guy. We know what we're talking about. We did an entire five movie thing on time travel. Later, yeah. Pat, long time ago in our podcasting history.
In our younger days.
Oh man, that was a good set though. I enjoyed that chunk of movies.
Yeah, that was fun.
Especially the one where the guy had sex with himself. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done.
He made a baby with himself, and then it was him. I forget how it was. I should like watch that movie again.
Well, basically it was hermaphrodite.
Right.
And then like went back, and after like one the fucking like worm became the butterfly and was like setting up all the future things because it realized what had gone on. It was like, oh, I was a snake eating a snake. And it's like the future self realizes that. And it's like, all right, well, the only way to keep this thing going is for me to go back in time. But that event's already been set in motion already. So here we go. Back at it. Yeah. Yeah. That's where you get those, like, I tested it every way I could, but here's the random what if that just happened. I don't know what to do with that. And that's why, like, that time travel guy was like, yeah, we just basically sectioned you off. Like, you don't exist, homie.
Right. You live inside your own circle.
Yeah.
And time just happens
around you. Yeah, and as long as we move these events this way, this will happen every time. And you are just, here. Go ahead and try to fix it. Go ahead.
Good luck.
Right. Can't. You did it once. This is what happens.
Exactly.
When you have sex change and go back and bang yourself, that's what happens.
That's exactly what happens every time. All right, man. Good discussion. Now decent episode. A little bit boring. We'll see how next week turns out. We got to figure out what's going on with this Trill person. And we get to visit the Trill planet for the first time in history. We've never been there in the entirety of Star Trek. So it's a new thing for everybody. I know nothing about it.
Hopefully it's just a bunch of slugs like slithering around on the ground waiting for hosts. And they're like, oh, what the fuck?
Don't step there. Yeah, right. All right, man. All right, Thank you, everybody who's listening, who listened to the end. And we will catch you guys next week for episode 4.
See you guys.